Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. Totally Driven Tuesday, shall we say. And Totally Driven rocks. That's right. Totally Driven Radio rocks. Tuesday afternoon, noontime special. That's right. And we're doing it today with the band Wildstar and David K-Star. You might remember him as bass player back in the 80s, parts of the 90s, of the band Vicious Rumors, Bay Area Thrashers. Well, he's back. He's actually been back for about 7 years now. He's got a project going on with his wife. His wife, London Wild, is the singer. And David is now the guitarist. That's right. He switched from bass over to guitar. And they've been doing this band called Wildstar for the last 7 years. And they just released their third album this past Friday. It's called Beyond the Rain. And I got to talk to Dave, actually, it was the day after Thanksgiving we taped this interview, and I'm just airing it now. So it's 2 weeks old, but, you know, I figured I wanted to wait till the album came out, so there you go. So the album is out, came out this past Friday, like I said. It's called Beyond the Rain, and it's a really, I guess you could say, deep, emotional, personal album for those two, as it's a concept album, so to say, but it's really about the life and memory of London's brother who committed suicide. So it's all about him. And actually, Dave also played one of his guitars. He was a musician, and he played one of his guitars on parts of the album as well. So Dave talks about that. Talks about how, you know, personal it was. We discuss guitars, him switching from bass to guitar. He really explains how he truly believes and feels his wife, London, if it wasn't for her, he would be dead by now due to his partying ways, and that he's clean and sober now all these years later. And, you know, just a really good personal interview, shall we say, get to know you interview. And we learned about Dave, and we learned about Wildstar, we learned about London, we learned about it all. So you know, I'm going to play that for you in a few minutes, but before I do, let's play some music, right? So let's play an old song. And then I think this was like a cool tune. Well, all their music's cool, but it was their debut single, and it was called Arrival. So let's do that, because they're arriving here on Totally Driven Radio, Totally Driven Radio Rocks, and we're going to do that, and then we'll come back, we'll do the interview, and then we'll play something new from Beyond the Rain. So here we go. Here's Wildstar with Arrival. All right, welcome back to Nerdy Rocks. Bay Ragney here. There you go. That was Erival from the band Wildstar, which we're doing a little Wildstar special today. We got our interview coming up in a couple seconds. Actually, a couple minutes, I'm sorry, with Dave Starr. Actually, I have to. This is the part where people probably want to kill me, but believe it or not, I do have a commercial break to take. So give me 3 minutes of your time. Let me do my commercials. Let me pay the bills. Let me keep this music going, keep the network going, our station afloat, so to say. And we're going to come back in 3 minutes, and we'll go right into the interview with Dave. And then we're going to play some more music from Beyond the Rain, and then we'll say our goodbyes. So check this guy out. He's our own personal superhero, so to say. He's freaking hysterical. He's funny. He's a comedian. And he's Black Man. ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the Blackmobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard. Pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Mr. David Starr.
Hi, is this Bay?
That's me, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good.
Hey, how you feeling after Thanksgiving? You all full still?
Oh, every time I do that, I say I'm never eating again. That usually lasts until we have turkey leftovers the next day.
You know what? I'm out here and I'm on the East Coast. I'm in Philly. And I just had my lunch about an hour ago, and naturally it was turkey leftovers. And I'm like in that turkey coma still.
Yep. Yeah, we actually cooked two turkeys last night, so we got tons of leftovers.
Holy cow!
Yeah, the other turkey didn't even get touched, and we had a lot of people here last night, cousins and my sister and my mother-in-law, but I thought they were two small turkeys, but we didn't even get through the first one. So got lots of turkey
wow.
this year. That's fine. I cook the turkeys. I like doing it.
Cool. Very cool. Well, speaking of family, I mean, this whole, this new album that you guys have put out, this is really all about family, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically my wife's lyrical. Well, to those who don't know us, my wife is the lead singer in the band, or the lead singer in the band is my wife, however you want to categorize that or put that one before the other. But it's basically a lyrical story that she told about the suicide of her brother-in-law 5 years ago. And
wow.
She kind of poured her heart out, and it ended up becoming a concept album dealing with her relationship with her brother and her brother's frustrations as a musician and not being able to accomplish what he wanted to, and stories
right.
about their ups and downs together and their upbringing. And she just that's how she dealt with this family tragedy. And I think it wasn't a very. It's one of the reasons why this album took so long to make.
Sure,
it was over four years to make this record, and I don't like taking that long to make records. But this needed to be ready when it was ready, and I couldn't.
Right.
When you're talking a sensitive lyrical topic, it's a totally different ball game. So I needed to give
right.
her the space to do what she needed to do.
Did you guys? Well, I was going to say, did you guys like?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, did you guys think at any time maybe it might be too much to tackle, and maybe to go a different direction for this album?
Well, we started writing when our second album, A Telltale Heart, came out in 2012. I had already been writing material for the new album, because I'm always working ahead. I've already got an album's worth or two albums worth of music, because I play all the guitars and bass on our albums and I write all the music. So I had already was heavily at work on writing the new album, but then this Gary, my brother-in-law, committed suicide, and that London just thought about it, and it's just what she wanted to do. And
sure.
I just, some people want to run and hide from these kind of things, and I have no problem with that. If they want
right.
to just don't deal with them publicly, but obviously this is a very public thing because it's music that we're selling to fans around the world, and so it's something that people are going to know about. And she's sharing a lot of. I said it became a concept album, but a lot of concept albums are fictional,
right?
Or they're telling stories about something that the songwriter really was not had. If you write a concept about the Civil War, a concept album about the Civil War, World War II, well, okay, that's great, but you weren't there. Even though it might be a true story, based on a true story, this is an actual true story based on something that just happened a few years ago within our family.
Right.
So it's a pretty tough thing, a brutal thing to deal with, but she wanted to go for it. And I said, hey, you write the lyrics and the melodies. I'm gonna leave this up to you. If you want to do this, then let's roll with it. And
sure.
It might be cathartic for her, and I think it was. And we actually shifted gears a little bit with the instruments too, because I'm a Gibson Les Paul guy, and I normally use Gibson Les Pauls for all my guitar tracking. And we used one of Gary's guitars that he left behind, a Fender Strat. I'm not really a Fender Strat guy, but I became very comfortable with this guitar, and I told London, I said, you know, let's split tracks. We'll do the Strat on one, because I always do multiple guitar tracks. And I said, well, let's use Gary's guitar on one side and my Les Paul on the other, so we'll kind of tap, you know, his mojo or his DNA and pay tribute to him by actually playing one of his guitars that he left behind on the album. So
that's
another thing important that we did. Yeah. And, so I think it makes a difference in the sound of the record too, subtly. But it made a difference definitely to me, because I realized I was playing a guitar that literally had his DNA all over the fretboard.
Right.
And it made me think about things.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, when I was going through and reading all about this, I was like, wow, this is, yeah. Like, you know, like you said, especially whether it's a concept album or not, I mean, you know, sometimes people write about autobiographical things or fictional things or whatever it may be. But when it's something that, that close to you and that meaningful, it's such a deep thing. I was, you know, I totally understand why it would take so long, you know, for you guys to really put this album out.
Yeah, it was a tough stretch. I mean, we lost my parents both died during the recording of this album, and
oh, wow.
My great niece passed away too. Who was I'm not good with extended family, you know, nomenclature, but my great niece was my wife's daughter's granddaughter. So that's my great niece.
Okay.
She passed away as a baby a couple of years ago. So it's been pretty rough, and we up and moved from the San Francisco Bay Area to Houston, Texas, to help care for my elderly mother before she passed away. So there's been a lot going on. I hate making excuses for why it took 4.5 years for this record to come out, but if these are excuses, there are plenty of legitimate ones.
Yeah, you have good reason, and it yeah, I don't think you need to really explain to anybody why it took so long. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. Well, the best way I look at it is the first record came out, Arrival, our first album came out in 2010. So the more comfortable way to say it is we've released 3 albums in 7 years. That sounds better. So
yeah, there you go.
I like the sound of that. Some people take 7 years to release an album or go 7 years between albums, but we released 3 albums in 7 years. So that's a pretty
good.
That's a pretty good. Yeah.
Now, do you think this helped your wife in the writing of this, you know, to deal with this whole tragedy?
I think so, yeah. I believe so. She's been pretty strong throughout this whole ordeal. My mother-in-law still, who moved in with us about a year ago, her husband passed away, so we've kind of circled the wagons here. She's had a tough time dealing with it, but I think it's made – I've never been through anything like this before. My grandmother
right.
committed suicide, but this happened before before I was even born.
Oh,
so
okay.
I never knew, and my mother never liked to talk about it, so I didn't really know much about the situation. I did have some other friends pass who committed suicide who I didn't really know that well or hadn't talked to in a long, long time. So this hit quite close to home, and I do think my wife's handled it really well. I mean, she knew, without getting into the morbid, gory details, she knew that Gary was a troubled soul throughout
right.
his life. He had problems. So when... It's not a situation where when this happened, everybody said, wow, we never saw the signs. No, the family
gotcha.
Saw the signs for going back a very long time. And of course, that doesn't make it any less painful when it actually does happen. But
sure.
There were plenty of warning signs and incidents throughout his life that he had a lot of instability and turmoil, and so it's sad, but it was not unexpected. That's probably the best way to put it. So I think in that respect, it might be a situation where, you know, my wife, who unfortunately couldn't be here for this interview right now, would say, you know, maybe he's finally at peace, where he's just been not at peace throughout his whole life.
Right. Now, also, too, like, as I was going through and researching, it seemed like, were you guys originally going to call this album just Three, and then you just changed the name to Beyond the Rain?
Yeah, I think we were calling it Wild Star Three, and Beyond the Rain is a title that London came up with. She just kind of felt it fit the scenario of the concept regarding her brother-in-law. I don't really remember. I guess it was maybe sometime 5 years ago when we were, after the last album came out, and maybe around 2013 or 2014, where we actually shifted the title from Wild Star 3 to, you know, if you're coming out with your third album or fourth or whatever, if you don't have a title for it, it's easy just to call it by a number, and then you can always change it later. As opposed to saying, yeah, this is the new album's called Meltdown, but we decided to change it to Beyond the Rain. Well, what the hell was that all about? But if you go from Three to Beyond the Rain, it's kind of less of a transition, if you know what I mean. Maybe Three was just a placeholder, if nothing else.
Now, you were saying a little earlier too about how you mainly play Gibson Les Paul, but I saw a bunch of pictures of you holding my all-time favorite guitar, the Ibanez Iceman.
I did use that's an interesting guitar. That's was a limited edition Paul Stanley Iceman that came out in 1992, and there was 200 of them made, and they were all signed by Paul Stanley on the back. And I bought it sight unseen. I worked at Guitar Center when I found out they were coming out with them. I did use that on the second album. I did use that on Telltale Heart, Split It Left and Right. It was on the first album I used Les Pauls on both Left and Right. Telltale Heart, I used the Iceman and the Les Paul Left and Right. I have a love-hate relationship with that Iceman. I love the way it looks, but it doesn't seem to be very comfortable to play, and I had a really hard time keeping the damn thing in tune. So I'm not sure if I want to use it again on another album. I just have real consistency using my Gibson Les Pauls. And I'll never sell the Iceman. I was actually just thinking about busting it out the other day, but I just remember while recording the second album, Telltale Heart, I just had a really tough time keeping that damn guitar in tune. And I remember just saying to myself, I'm going to get through this record, and I'm never going to use this on another album again. But wow. I wanted to try to go for a little bit of variation, so we had the Paul Stanley Iceman and the Gibson Les Paul. We took it a little more extreme on this album with Strat and Les Paul, which I think puts across as being somebody who plays everything, all the guitars and the bass. So I play the role of three different guys in this band, if you will.
Right.
One of the reasons why I wanted to play the Strat on this album, and one of the reasons why I used the Iceman on the last one, is I thought, you know, on the first one, I just used my Les Paul on both left and right tracks. So I thought, you know, that's cool, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense if we're trying to sound like a band, if we want to be a band, but we're doing everything as a three-piece in the studio. It might be a little smarter to have two different sounding guitars as opposed to using the same guitar for two different tracks. So I think we really achieved that more so on this album because the Strat and the Les Pauls definitely sound like different instruments. And I use EMGs in my Les Pauls, and I used this custom Strat of Gary's was actually in pieces. It was the guitar and the neck. He left the treasure trove stuff behind, and we had to sift through it and figure out what we were going to keep, what we were going to save, what we were going to sell. So I had to go through his boxes of pickups and put in a Seymour Duncan JB or something in the bridge position, and brought it back to life. and we found some old pictures of him playing the guitar. So it's definitely a favorite one that he had kept throughout the years. It was maybe going through some transitions at the time of his death. Maybe he was in the middle of changing pickups or all the electronics. Or not really sure. We'll never know. But I think it sounds cool on this end. We've got Les Paul with the EMGs on one side, Strat with a passive Seymour Duncan pickup on the other. So it's kind of gives it more of a tonal diversity.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, the whole album sounds good. I was listening to it last night. It's a really killer, true classic metal album.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're really proud of this. And so far the feedback that's been coming back is all been really good. I mean, I've never really read very many bad reviews on what we do anyway. I read a couple of them from the first album, maybe one or two for the second album. The reviews are just now coming in, and there's a German website called metalmag.com that just gave us 100 out of 100, so that was that was pretty cool. Oh, so that was nice.
Yeah, right? I don't think you can do better than 100 out of 100.
Yeah, that's about as good as you're going to get. And it's funny, as I actually read the review, and I told London about it, and I didn't really realize, scroll down to the bottom of the review, that it actually had a score on there, like a lot of webzines and magazines do. And I missed that at first, and I went back and told her, I said, hey, man, we got 100 out of 100 on this. It was really cool. So that's the interviews. The reviews are just now starting to come in because the record doesn't even come out for another couple of weeks. But you and a lot of the other press people who've been doing interviews and getting advanced copies, they're starting to pop up now here and there. So it's always curious to see what people are going to think. The people I talk to on Facebook just love it. So I think we've got a winner on our hands.
Yeah, I think so too.
You get so immersed in what you're doing, especially when you spend 4 years. You think everything, oh wow, this is great. But then again, just because you're listening to it day in and day out and perfecting it, you never really know what the general public is going to think when they hear it. Just because you think it's great, I mean, everybody thinks their record is great, but it really depends on what that doesn't mean the general public who hear it or buy it are going to feel the same way that you do. But so far, everything's been really, really great that we've been reading and hearing from.
Nice. Now, you've mentioned many times, and in case people didn't even pick up on it, you and your wife are in this band together. This is your wife. Is the lead singer, you're the guitarist, / bass player as well on the albums. And I was wondering, I mean, for years, you know, being in Vicious Rumors and playing with other bands through the years, you were back at that point in time, I mean, it's like you and friends or associates, you know what I mean? And now it's you and your wife. So how different is that, being in a band with your wife?
It's a little different. I think it can be a little more challenging. The recording studio is in our home, and we have to make sure that if we have a disagreement or a blowout or for something that we're doing, that it stays when we leave the studio door, that it doesn't filter out into our domestic home life. But sometimes can be easier said than done. But obviously, we've made 3 albums together as husband and wife team, and I'm really proud of everything that we've done. The general consensus is that everybody really loves what we're doing, so that makes it a lot easier to obviously, if you're putting stuff out and nobody likes it, then you're probably not going to be too happy. I think it makes it more enjoyable because of the fact that we're husband and wife, and it makes it a very unique situation. And I've said this many times in interviews, I literally do not know, and I'm not saying it's etched in stone, I'm saying I don't know if there are any other husband and wife teams in the field of heavy metal. If they're out there, I'm not being ignorant of it, I just don't know if there are any other ones out there. So it makes it a very unique situation
sure.
in this genre of music. So I think that makes it more special personally for us because it's part of our life and part of our marriage.
Yeah.
We're creating art together, and we're doing it as husband and wife. So I think it makes it more rewarding.
Do you think it's maybe even brought you guys closer together?
I think so. There's a larger way that the big answer to that question is before this whole thing really started, I had some serious substance abuse issues that I had to address. So I've been clean and sober for 12 and a half years now. And
wow.
It was about that time that I wanted to start. I said to myself, I want to start writing this stuff with my wife, with London. But I realized that this was never going to happen if I didn't get my head screwed on straight. So that was part of the whole process. So how does that play into our marriage? Well, I can tell you honestly right now, if I didn't get clean and sober, I would have been dead probably within a couple of years. So we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. There would have been no Wild Star, and our marriage would have ended prematurely with my death. And I'm not trying to sound dramatic. I mean, it was pretty, I had to get my act together. And I just literally delved into part of my rehab was I just sat, because I'd been a bass player professionally really up until that time. And
right.
I really wanted to play guitar. And so I got really good really fast. And by the time we recorded the Revival CD, I'd only been playing guitar professionally on this level for 2 or 3 years after,
wow.
I don't know, what, 20, 30 years playing bass professionally. So did it bring us closer? Yeah, it kept me alive. and not only did it keep me alive, we've created 30 beautiful, well, maybe you don't want to say beautiful, really cool songs that are our creation. So, yeah, that was kind of a long answer, but it did bring us closer together, I think, as husband and wife and songwriting partners and band members.
So now technically you have 30 children.
You could look at it that way, yeah. they are our creations. London and I don't have any kids. I do have a daughter from a previous relationship, my daughter Tawny, who's going to be 32 in a couple of weeks. But yeah, London and I don't have any kids, so this is kind of our, we have 3 albums that we've made, and we have 6 dogs, so that's our family.
Wow, there you go. So what's it like, you mentioned about making that switch to guitar. I mean, and when I was reading that, I was really blown away. I mean, why do that switch? I mean, that's huge, especially after being known as a professional bass player for all those years.
Well, I knew that if I wanted to do, of course, at that time, we were just talking about doing a album. We didn't realize, you know, three albums we'd end up done. We were just struggling to try to, I was struggling to get clean and sober, and I was struggling to make the transition to guitar. And we were just trying to write songs. We were just feeling our way around. And I'm 56 now, so I was 43, 44 at the time. And it is rather unusual for somebody to change gears that drastically at that age. But I just really wanted to do it. I made a detour back to Vicious Rumors. I played on all the first 5 albums of the classic lineup, but I went back to the band in 2005 to record the Warball CD. But Mark McGee, the other guitar player, didn't want to come back and do it, and the singer Carl had died in 1995, so it was just me, Jeff, and Larry, the core of the original band. We got Brad Gillis from Night Ranger and James Rivera from Hellstar. And I really just, I don't know, I just looked around and I thought, you know, this isn't the way it was in the back in the day. I just didn't really feel the magic, and I really and I just started, and I'd been clean and sober for 6 months at that time, and I really wanted to. And I just said to myself, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to create my own legacy, making my own music, doing my own thing with London, and it was just. How did I get good so fast on the guitar? I really don't know. Because if you listen to that first album, Arrival, I don't think it sounds like a 44-year-old guy who's only playing guitar for 2 years. I mean, it just doesn't sound like it. It sounds like Queensryche or Judas Priest or classic Vicious Rumors or Sabotage or anything. And I really don't have an answer to how the whole thing all came together. It was just such a blur. But it all worked out for the right reasons. And I don't know if it was divine intervention or just me really making a conscious effort to really change my life and get my act together, or a little bit of everything. I just know it worked.
Yeah, it did. It did. I mean, you can truly tell. I mean, you know, things happen for a reason, and it's all come together with Wildstar, the music, you switching the guitar. I mean, all that stuff happens for a reason, and with each album, you guys prove that it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's funny because when we first started this out, I was a little bit tentative. You know, I said, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I'm going to do the best job I can. Maybe I'll do a solo here and there, and we'll all call in some favors from some people I've worked with in the past, like Vinnie Moore, maybe Brad Gillis, David Chastain, and we were going to have a whole host of other guitar players on the album, and I was going to play what I could. And as I got farther and farther away from the substance abuse issues, and I was, you know, longer and longer into my clean and sober stretch, my head cleared up, and I got better and better on the guitar. I told London, I said, you know what? I don't want anybody else doing this. This is our music. I think I'm getting good enough to where I can do this all myself, and that'll make it really mean a lot more, because it's not me doing 70% of the album, and then we've got, you know, this guy doing a solo here, this guy doing a solo here, and this guy splitting a solo, doing a hard. I just felt like, let's do this ourselves, and...
Right.
Neither one of us can play drums, so we're going to need a drummer, but we did everything else, the keyboards, the vocals, both guitars and the bass, all ourselves, and produced the albums ourselves too. And I think that was really a key to making, I think that was really a key decision, because it made it more personal for us.
Right.
And it showed that we stood on our own two feet, and nobody could say, well, the best parts of the album is Vinnie Moore's guitar solos, or he couldn't have done it on his own without help from other people. Well, we did it on our own, and I think it was the best way to do it.
Sure.
And I think it came a success, and we've done it for that. That's been our formula for three albums now.
Nice. Now, I saw this in an older interview as I was going through looking and researching, and I wanted to know if this was still true. You guys have never played a live show?
Never have. Never toured, never played live.
Wow.
It wasn't our intention when we first started this out. We actually were going to hire people to put a traditional band together. And this was before Arrival came out. And we were trying to find people to work with. And it just... I don't know. We just kept finding people who didn't seem to get our concept or our vision of what we wanted to do. We had a couple of people who would right out front say, you know, I think this song would be better if you do this chord change here and do this and that. And London and I would just look at each other and just say, man, don't these people realize that it's our band? This is our vision. We need people to come in here and support us, not say, you know, I'm going to make you guys better. I'm going to change everything around. So we just said, screw this. And we just ended up becoming a duo in the studio with the support of Josh Foster on drums. And could we put a band together? Yeah, it just, we just for better or for worse, we've just kind of morphed into becoming a studio project. And it's not that we're lazy. We have a lot of things going on. We have, in addition to WildStar, we have two businesses that we own that we run from home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we also have our mother-in-law, London's mother, who moved in with us from Vegas a little over a year ago, so we're helping take care of her. So we have a lot of responsibilities, and we have a big, beautiful home with our own forest here, and we got six dogs. We have a really great kind of home life here, and every time I think about going back out on the road, I kind of just cringe because I remember a lot of crap that I had to deal with back in the day with VR, and I'm not totally knocking it because there were parts that I really enjoyed about it. I loved getting up on stage in different countries and meeting fans all over the world, and a lot of great memories that I'll always cherish. But as somebody who's clean and sober like me, you have to really kind of pick your battles. And yeah. I don't want to put myself in tempting situations where I'm surrounded by people using drugs and alcohol. I don't even go to clubs anymore. I mean, I used to live in that environment. I used to just go to clubs every night, drink and carouse and raise hell, and just that was my lifestyle. And I just moved to a different level or a different plane, if you want to. And if somebody told me 20, 30 years ago, when you're in your 50s, you're going to be going to bed early every night, you're going to be clean and sober, you're going to be getting up, I'd say, I hate that person. I don't want to be that person. Well, you know what? I am that person, and I love my life. I love my wife. I love our home. We have to get this great home. We just bought some forest property behind our house, so we've just expanded our estate here. We got a bunch of dogs and my mother-in-law. So we have a really cool situation here going on in Texas. And when you have something that's this positive and this great in your life, there's not really a lot of incentive to want to leave it.
Right.
And we get asked that question a lot, and I'm not frustrated with answering it because I know it's going to happen. It happens with every album. There are aspects of it, of touring, that I miss. Do I sometimes think about taking this on stage and on the road? Yeah, I do. But for right now, it's just not in the cards. We just love what we're doing in the studio, and we're just keeping it at that. So I know that
because I get it. Like, I mean, I'm 47, and I kind of feel the same way. Like, I think to myself, like, yeah, I want to go out tonight. I'm going to go see this band. I'm going to see that band. And then I'm like, you know what? My couch and my TV are winning out of going and sitting in a club and, you know, dealing with young drunks and stuff like that. I'm like, I just don't want that. But from your point of view, where I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, I would die to, like, for the, you know, the other side of it, being on stage and hearing the reaction from the fans to the music and all. But through this whole interview, I kept saying to myself, like, this dude just seems very happy and content with the way his life is. And I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I totally get
it. Yeah, well, that's, I don't consciously make an effort to put that across. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
And when I say honest, I mean, I should, for all the crap that I went through, a lot of it self-inflicted with substance abuse issues, it is literally a miracle that I'm alive today. And I should have been dead 20 times over. And to be able to just be sitting here talking to you is a really, I mean, I get up in the morning and I just have a smile on my face. I'm happy just to be alive, just to be breathing air, just to be playing the guitar, just to be walking in the forest with my dogs and my wife. I mean, life is great right now. Everybody's got problems.
Sure.
I have problems too, but now I'm able to deal with them being clean and sober. So the problems are not so much gigantic problems anymore because I deal with them. So yeah, I just to a lot of people, maybe this life would be boring to them. And like I was saying a few minutes ago, to my, if I saw myself in the future, maybe I would think this would be boring. But actually, I find it pretty damn cool. I just got a brand new Harley Davidson last year. You know, I go for rides on my bike and just breathe in air and just without trying to sound like a, you know, really sappy. When I went through what I went through, every day is a gift. And
sure.
that's how I look at life now, especially when you get to be my age. I'm 56, so you realize there are less days ahead of you than there are behind you, and you just take every day and you just really, really value it and appreciate it, and that's how I approach life.
Well said. I love it.
Thank you.
So, all right, so let's get all the plugs out there. Let's, like, get people to buy this album, because this is actually a business. It's not just, you know, something fun for you guys to do. It's creating music and selling albums.
Yeah. Well, if people want to reach us, they can go to our website. That's wildstar.com, WILDESTARR.com. We are selling websites, are selling CDs through the website, and if people buy them through us, the advantage is we sign them, personally autograph them at no extra cost. And if they want to get them through other affiliates, Amazon, iTunes, Target, Amazon, Best Buy, I think all these other things are tied in with a record label. Our record label, Scarlet, is in headquartered in Italy. But we've got distribution worldwide. I just noticed on Japan, they're now taking pre-orders through Disc Union over there. So I encourage people to please, if you love the album, please buy it. Obviously, everybody's having the same problem with the illegal downloads that have been prevalent ever since the Internet became an entity. But every time we just went on to my PayPal. I mean, we're literally a husband and wife thing. We do so much stuff ourselves. We monitor our own PayPal. I just looked at the PayPal account yesterday. It was really great. I told London, I said, hey, we just got a whole boatload of pre-orders for the CD, you know, some printing out labels, and it's great. It's really rewarding. You can also find us on Facebook. The band has a Facebook page, and London and I each have our own individual pages, and we're always talking and yakking to people on Facebook, so they can. That's a good place to reach us as well.
Cool, very cool. Well, this has been great talking to you, David. Man, I wish you guys the best of luck with everything and maintaining 100 out of 100, because the album is friggin' awesome. And
I'll let you guys know.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm honored to talk to you, man. And I'll let you guys know when I'm going to air this for you, too.
Okay, yeah. I guess you can let us know through Chip or both. Either way is fine with us. And,
cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking to you, and we'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely, man. Take care.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye. We'll be right back.
Rock, there you go, Bay Ragney here, and there it was, Beyond the Rain, the new song single off the album titled Beyond the Rain from Wildstar. So check them out, look for them. You can find them on social media, like them, love them, follow them, and you can find go right to their website, wildstar.com. That's wildestarr.com. So there you go, another episode in the books. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for listening. Again, if you want to get hold of me, look for me on the world of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My name is Bay Ragney. It's Bayragni. Or look for Totally Driven Entertainment or Totally Driven Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Like us, love us, follow us. Thanks again. And until next time, stay driven, everybody. See ya.